U.S. Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz pushed a button to launch the ceremonial startup of the new cellulosic ethanol plant near Hugoton in October.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, now.
This moment was 7 years in the making. That's how long it's been since Abengoa, the Spanish renewable energy giant, broke ground on this gleaming complex of stainless steel tanks, towers, and pipes. During a tour of the facility, chemical engineer Kevin Gross explained that the ethanol produced here is essentially the same as that produced using corn.
But what makes it different than any other ethanol facility is that we're not using corn as a feedstock. We're using waste material or byproducts of corn. We're using corn stover, wheat straw, switchgrass. Any herbaceous material we can process and we can turn it into ethanol.
And Energy Secretary Moniz says there's an abundance of biomass available for ethanol production.
The Oak Ridge National Laboratory, one of the DOE laboratories, has estimated that nationally we will probably have the order of 1 billion tons of biomass usable for conversion.
But most of the crop residue available for use in the Hugoton plant comes from corn grown nearby to feed livestock. And corn requires lots of water, water that comes from the dwindling Ogallala Aquifer. But that's not the only sustainability issue. One that's often overlooked is the importance of crop residue to the land. Deanne Presley is an environmental soil scientist at Kansas State University. She says crop residue helps prevent soil erosion. It also minimizes water loss.
Anytime we have less than 80% of the soil surface covered, we lose water from the sun and wind working to evaporate water.
So how much residue is too much to take from the soil? A leading expert, Ohio State University Professor Ratan Lal, says as a general rule, 70 to 80% of crop residue needs to be retained.
I did an experiment taking away the crop residue in Africa. Over a 17-year period, the soil from which I was taking away all the crop residue, it had become very hard, very cemented, very compacted. Roots could not go through it.
Lal says crop residue feeds the earthworms and microbes the soil needs to grow healthy crops. Farmers like Steve Romy understand that. He farms about 12,000 acres, mostly irrigated, around Hugoton. Romy was on his tractor, tilling the remains of last fall's corn crop back into a field to prepare it for planting wheat.
Hey, Dad.
Good. You must be Steve.
I am.
Nice to meet you.
Glad to meet you.
Romy sells some of his crop residue to Abengoa, but not from this field. The soil is too sandy and erodible. Romy says proper land management is more important than the money he could get by selling the corn stubble.
We look at this as a factory, and if it's going to decrease our production levels, we won't do it long term. That was an understanding when we talked to Abengoa from the very beginning. And there's plenty of flexibility within the contract that allows us to change fields, which ones we take residue off of and how much we need.
Abengoa Executive Vice President Chris Standley doesn't think removal of too much crop residue will become an issue. More than 15 million tons of the stuff is available within 50 miles of the plant every year.
Of that 15.3 million tons, we only need the 0.3, roughly 320,000 tons, to operate this facility to produce all of the electricity that we need, all of the steam that we need, and the ethanol, and have some electricity left over to sell back to the grid.
And for now, there is strong demand for the 25 million gallons of ethanol the Hugoton plant can produce every year. That's largely because of federal guidelines that require ethanol to be blended into the nation's fuel supply. But a bill to repeal those guidelines is once again pending in the Senate. I'm Brian Thompson.